Welcome into You're the Cure right here on AM 580. Dr. Ben Edwards, MD. Of course, Veritas Medical. Check us out on the World Wide Web. VeritasMedical.com for archived programs. You're the Cure right here on AM 580 Radio. Of course, along the way, phone lines will be open at all times. 806-745-5800. Text line available. 806-745-5800. Let me say good morning once again to Dr. Ben Edwards. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Wade. How are you?
I'm doing well. Hope you're having a great Monday.
Doing good.
Everything going well? Good,
yeah,
good,
real
good.
Good.
Of course, we have special guest via telephone today.
Yes, we do. We are back with Morley Robbins again. And I told Morley this weekend he's going to have to stop and take a breath at least every 5 minutes.
Well,
I can summarize.
I was just going to say, Morley, I'm glad you're with us. I've been doing my beef liver tabs on a consistent basis. I try to eat beef liver when I can, but I don't eat enough of it. So beef liver tabs it is for me, and I feel great. Just wanted to throw that out before we get too deep in the weeds today on the show.
You're moving in the right direction, Wade. That's a good thing.
Well, thank you, sir.
Well, Morley, welcome. We're glad you're here today.
Thank you.
Can't wait to hear what the latest research has uncovered, which I kind of know since you sent it to me, but I hope we can stay focused, too, because there's just so much. so many directions we could go. And really, it's the retinol, which is, just remind everybody, the vitamin A, retinol, is the animal-based form of vitamin A. The plant-based form is the carotene, beta-carotenes, and then there's the retinoids that are the animal-based form. So we're going to be talking about that some today and all the different roles that retinol, retinoic acid plays in the body. But really, I want to encourage the listeners. We're going to get into some deep stuff, but we'll summarize it. We'll bring it all back around. It's really some pretty basic stuff. The body's made pretty amazingly, and if you just give it what it needs, it will function. But when you don't give it what it needs, or you put stuff in the body that blocks or causes deficiencies or in any way impedes normal function, there can be very detrimental effects on your health. So we're going to get into all that today. But Morley, we'll just jump right in because I know there's a lot you want to talk about. So welcome to the show, and tell us, what have you been learning lately?
Well, let me start by sharing an analogy that when I started this journey about a decade ago, I really focused on magnesium and magnesium metabolism. And just about every condition known to man has a loss of magnesium, and it's from stress, and we've talked about that. But understanding magnesium metabolism is kind of like grade school math, addition, subtraction, maybe some multiplication. Then I drifted into copper metabolism, and that's kind of like high school math, because it's a very important mineral, as we've discussed. It gets involved in a lot of key transactions, but it's not as straightforward as 2 plus 2 equals 4. And then the universe seemed to nudge me into iron metabolism, only to reveal that it's actually copper iron metabolism. And when you begin to really delve into the dynamics of what's called redox chemistry, that's short for reduction oxidation, which is how the body works. It's moving electrons by reducing and oxidizing, and that is akin to calculus. A little bit more complicated, but, you know, still doable. And then the latest foray is into retinol metabolism, and it's sort of an oh my gosh moment, because it's kind of like solving simultaneous equations, which is really complicated. I only knew a couple guys in college who took that level of math, but just looking at their notes from class gave me a headache, so I realized that was not my cup of tea. But the amazing thing about retinol is it's very dynamic. It's very much connected to the metabolism of copper and iron. But as you just alluded to, there's a certain simplicity to it once you understand how the body works. And I think that what I've come to realize in the last last 3 or 4 months where I've really taken this deep dive, is what a tragic mistake taking cholesterol out of our diet was, because most foods that have cholesterol, well, they're of animal origin to begin with, but those foods also have retinol. And when you really begin to understand the importance of retinol, and that another way to refer to that is real vitamin A, you begin to realize that they took a major cog out of the wheel when that was depleted from our diet. I think the second aha moment is realizing that what they've done to make up for that bad decision was to put the spotlight on beta carotene and what are called retinal esters. And both of those are in our diet, probably at proportions that they shouldn't be. And what I learned this morning, which is fascinating, is that the beta carotene is actually broken down in the small intestine. But it requires an enzyme called beta carotene monooxygenase, and that's copper dependent. So if you don't have enough copper in your body, you're not going to be able to break down those beta carotenes. And what people need to really understand is that one unit of beta carotene does not equal one unit of retinol. Now, the literature would suggest that it does, but they've created something called a retinol equivalency activity, REA. Like, we need another three-letter acronym, right? But in fact, it's 12 units of beta carotene has the retinol equivalence of one unit of retinol.
Okay, so...
So it takes an enormous amount of beta-carotene to provide what we need.
Folks that think they can get all they need as far as real vitamin A just from beta-carotene in plants, number one, they got to have the enzyme to break it down. And number two, it's a 12-to-1 ratio, so you got to get a whole lot of it. And that would tell me you need a whole lot of that enzyme too, meaning you need a whole lot of copper, and the best source of copper, because it's not in the plants anymore. There's been an 80% depletion of copper in the food crop since the 50s to the 90s, 1950s and 1990s. But the beef liver that Wade was talking about at the top of the show is the best source of copper. So the chances that someone's going to be copper deficient are pretty darn high. So if you're going to try to get all your vitamin A just through beta carotene, you're probably not going to get the job done. You're not going to be able to convert enough of that to retinol.
Exactly. And you know, let's take Wade's studio. He would have to fill that studio with carrots and eat all of them every day in order to get what he's getting out of the desiccated liver that he's eating. That's a pretty powerful image.
Yeah, it is.
That's a lot of carrots.
Yeah.
A lot of carrots.
I have a text kind of along that line, Morley, here.
Sure.
Of course, you know my wife, Melody, right?
I mean, of course.
She's taking your course and firmly believes in everything you're advocating for, but she's a health coach, and she texts in, "I fully believe in the importance of balancing your minerals. With that being said, I have a question for Morley. I was recently muscle tested, and I bought all of my root cause protocol supplements. I tested weak on almost every one of them, meaning that they weren't what my body needed. I would appreciate Morley more input on this. Thank you."
So, first thing you got to do is ask about the practitioner who did the muscle testing.
Okay.
There are a lot of people who think they can do muscle testing, and not everyone. And what you have to do, in order to do muscle testing, you have to be in a completely objective state. And
which
a lot of practitioners have, which is very difficult to do, and practitioners have a, a functional bias. I mean, you know, like Dr. Ben went from being an allopathic physician to a functional physician to now a, I don't know, how would you describe yourself? Now you're more devoted to real nutrition and trying to create metabolic balance.
Right.
But in each of those stages, the practitioner has a bias about what works and what doesn't work. And it's very difficult for practitioners not to let that bias creep into their muscle testing. Now,
right.
I'm a huge fan because my wife, who's been doing muscle testing for 30 years, has a gift of being able to get very objective. And not all practitioners can. Many can, but not all. So that would be my first question. Then I guess I would be curious to know what the sequence was that this practitioner was going through. And then I guess the third would be, what was the area of focus that this practitioner thought was the starting point? If those 12 nutrients weren't the starting point, what was? So it's an intriguing set of feedback, but I think it revolves around and involves quite a bit of analysis before we can say, well, the root cause protocol doesn't work, because there are a lot of variables involved in that process of discernment.
Yep, I would agree, and that's why I've kind of steered clear of muscle testing. I'm not speaking out against it, but the objectivity that's needed and muscle testing different days, I mean, one day after the next,
yep.
after the next, you could get a different result. So even moment by moment, and there's just a lot there that I don't fully understand. Again, I'm not discounting it at all. I'm not educated enough in it.
Well, does it boil back down to doctor and that it depends? I mean, you're right. It's all subjective, right? Number one. But number two, I like to boil it all back down to simplicity of, how do I feel?
Right.
How am I feeling?
Right, exactly.
Right?
Exactly. And how you feel, that's a huge barometer. And most Americans are so out of tune with their own body, they don't even know how to assess that. But number two, I like to look at historically, the tests of time. You know, when you look back at ancient cultures, you look back at even not super ancient, but like Weston A. Price and everything he studied in the 1920s and 30s when he sailed around the world and lived with different people groups for two or three years at a time. He spent 20 years doing this, lived with like 14 different cultures. And he found these common themes throughout them. And these guys didn't know any different. They had been handed down some knowledge or traditions over the years and over the centuries. But they were all healthy. They didn't have metabolic disease. They didn't have cancer. They didn't have heart disease and all this neurological disease. So going back and studying that literature and all the data that he collected to see what was the common theme throughout that, and then just trying to put all the pieces of the puzzle together is part of it too. But ultimately, how you feel, and any markers of oxidative stress and inflammation, you kind of have to follow that too. So it can be complicated for sure.
Well, back to the original focus. The other thing that we have to be mindful of is this: when you look at supplements, what you'll see on the back of them is it'll say vitamin A, but it will either be beta carotene, so you got to divide that number by 12, or it'll say retinyl, R-E-T-I-N-Y-L, palmitate, which is what's called a retinal ester. And these esters are a storage form of retinol, but they need to be converted. So both the beta-carotene and the retinol palmitate need to be converted to retinol before the body can turn it into retinoic acid. So what they've done is they've taken out the preformed retinol that was what our ancestors lived on, and they've replaced it with forms of vitamin A that are precursors, but they're not preformed. And so there's work that's involved in making the conversion. Well, we know that people are copper deficient, so they can't do the beta carotene. I'm working like a banshee to figure out what's the mineral that activates the enzymes that convert retinyl palmitate back into retinol. It's very obscure in the literature, so I haven't found it yet. My instincts tell me it's going to be copper again, but I don't know that. But the important thing for people to realize is that the dietary replacements in our food system today are not forms that are immediately usable, and what we need access to is full-blown retinol. That's what the body is wired to work with.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the point of
this first part of the discussion is we're laying the foundation for how important retinol is, but where you even get it, it's hard to get it through a supplement. It's hard to get it through plants, beta-carotene, not that you don't eat plants, but having the full broad spectrum of a ancestral type of diet, because really getting just the retinol by itself, what Morley was just saying, you've got to go the animal-based source, so pasture-raised eggs and grass-fed beef and the things that come out of grass-fed beef, like butter, real butter, beef liver, and then cod liver oil historically and traditionally has been a great source of it. So that's where you'd get real retinol, animal-based form of vitamin A is from these animal sources. So let's go into why we need that, why it's so important.
So the reason why retinol is so important is because it enables us to make what are called retinoic acids, and there's four different kinds. These retinoic acids are, in fact, hormones. We know that, like, its antagonist, vitamin A's antagonist, is vitamin D. And, of course, everyone and their brother is drowning themselves in that supplement. It's a very dangerous thing to do. We've talked about that. But no one seems to understand that in the same way that vitamin D in the storage form turns into an active hormone, vitamin A does the same thing, only it's turning into four different hormones. And there's an all-trans retinoic acid. Now, that all-trans means is it has saturated bonds across the chemical, across the molecule. There's a 9-cis, an 11-cis, and a 13-cis. These, and again, these are just referring to where there's kinks in the molecule. Well, having access to those retinoic acids is critically important because then they create what are called receptors, nuclear receptors, and they fall into two categories. Retinoic acid receptors, RARs, and the other is RXRs, X is an X-ray. And I didn't know anything of this stuff, you know, a month ago. I didn't know what RARs and RXRs is, but they're really important because if they're not present in the nucleus, then the nucleus can't transcribe its instructions.
Okay.
These receptors become the blueprint reader in the nucleus.
Okay, so let me break that down real fast. We get retinol from these animal-based sources. We eat our pasture-raised eggs and eat a little beef liver and take a swig of our cod liver oil. That gets converted to these different forms of retinoic acid, and those become part of the receptors or the keyholes on the DNA itself, on all the information, all the genes. You know, everybody hears about these genes and gene mutations, and I got the bad gene, I got the BRCA gene for breast cancer, I got the gene for Alzheimer's, I've got the gene for whatever. 23andMe is so popular, and everyone's looking at the genes. But these genes are just, they're books on a bookshelf, they're full of information, but someone has to tell that book to open up and be read. It's called genetic expression. So these receptors, keyholes, basically sit right there on the genes, and they're made out of retinols. Or retinoic acids that came from retinol, that came
right
from your cod liver oil. So what are these receptors doing, Morley?
They're enabling proper gene expression.
Okay.
Let me give an example. I mean, that's it. There's an area of the gene called the promoter region, and it's really important. Well, that's where these retinoic receptors hang out. And very, very important. And let me give you an example of how important it is. Again, if you read in the literature, and it's all over the internet, certainly all over the scientific literature, you'll read that vitamin D can prevent cancer. Like, wow, that's fascinating. And then you start to dive into it. And the process of cancer is, as you know, there's two major cellular activities. There's differentiation and there's proliferation. And proliferation of cells is very much involved in the process of cancer. It's an uncontrolled replication of the cell.
Yeah, so cells need to replicate, grow, reproduce, double, triple, quadruple, but they need to, it needs to be done in a very orderly way. And then at times those cells need to differentiate, which means change into a specific thing. This is a real simplified explanation of it, but you know, like a cell change into a mucus cell that lines your gut versus a skin cell that absorbs the nutrients or something like that. There's little specialty things that these cells can do or jobs that they have to do, so they have to differentiate into these little specialists. So that's what Morley's talking about, differentiation and proliferation. The reproduction or the growing of these cells has to be controlled and orderly and set up in the right way. So that's these receptors, retinoic acid receptors, play a part in regulating, controlling the way a cell grows, basically.
That's it. It's a very powerful role that it plays, and retinoic acid stops proliferation.
So stops the uncontrolled division. If you don't stop proliferation, you just proliferate. They just grow. That's out of control, and that goes on to cancer. So retinoic acid slows or stops that, prevents that.
When you get into the literature, what you'll find is that both vitamin A and vitamin D can stop proliferation. And you're thinking, wait a minute, how could that be? I mean, they are antagonists, right? And when you get into the real weeds of vitamin D metabolism, what you find out is that the critical metabolite of vitamin D is called vitamin D receptor, VDR. It's the rage. Everyone's talking about the vitamin D receptor. Well, guess what? It cannot work. It does not work unless there's an RXR receptor right next to it,
which is the retinol.
Which is the retinol.
Yeah, retinoic acid turns into RXR.
So vitamin D is actually dependent on vitamin A. Mm. Where do you read that in the literature? Nowhere. Yeah. Where do you read that on the internet? Nowhere. And so that becomes it's like, think of your car key as having two parts. There's a plastic end that has the buttons and all that, and then there's a metal end that actually unlocks the door and unlocks the ignition, right?
Right.
Well, guess what? RXR is the metal end.
Yeah.
And all the focus is on the plastic end. Oh, you got to have VDR. And I'm like, no, you got to have retinol and retinoic acid in order to stop cancer. And the article that I've been reading, it's taken me a week. I know you think I'm pulling your leg, but I was able to read like two or three paragraphs a day because it was that dense. And just to give you a sense of what's going on, the article's title is Inhibition of Retinol Oxidation by Ethanol in the Rat, Liver, and Colon. Like, oh my gosh. I never imagined in my life I would spend so much time with such dry but incredibly important articles.
Well, and only you, Morley. I'm glad you're you're doing that.
I know. It's like this is a late in life phenomenon, right? Think about what you're going to be doing when you're in your 60s, Dr. Ben.
If I survive these six kids, I'll be thankful.
That's exactly right. So, yeah, you're still going to be paying for education, I think.
Right. Well, I want to go real quick. I don't want to break your train of thought, but the headlines, you mentioned the headlines of vitamin D, and I see that all the time. These headlines, both journal articles and layman's articles, newspaper, New York Times, or the evening news, vitamin D stops cancer, stops proliferation. But what you're saying, what you're explaining is that vitamin D it can't work without the retinoic acid receptor being right there, the retinol being right there. And so everyone runs out and grabs their synthetic vitamin D from the vitamin store and starts gobbling it up and taking it that way, not a natural way, and not taking your retinol with it. And you'll actually deplete your retinol when you just go out and take a bunch of synthetic vitamin D. So
that's exactly right.
Very kind of misleading. Or there's more to the story, and that's the history of the last 70 years of medicine, in my opinion, in America. We jump out there with this initial, oh, look at this great study, usually on pharmaceuticals, and then 20 years later, we see the unintended consequence of everyone taking these drugs or even a supplement, and these unintended consequences are going to get us. So that's why you're listening to this show. So you'll understand the basics, and you don't need to follow every headline that you see. But go ahead, Morley. I'm sorry, interrupted you.
Yeah, no. I think it's important because there is a lot of misunderstanding about what's going on. I mean, you know, we thought that cholesterol was the bad guy. Turns out that wasn't the case. We thought that calcium loss was the problem with osteoporosis. Turns out it's not. I mean, there's been a series of revelations, as you say, over the last probably 20 years. But the important thing is vitamin D, there's a lot more to the story. And the beauty of cod liver oil and the beauty of beef liver is you have a balanced presentation of these fat-soluble vitamins. Mm-hmm. And so there's a reason why in like Rosita's cod liver oil, there's 10 times more retinol than there is vitamin D. Why? Because Mother Nature knows that vitamin A is 10 times more important.
Right,
but that's not the common knowledge of the average person on the street, and nor is it their practitioner's understanding.
Yep.
That's what we're trying to dispel, is that misunderstanding.
Well, and when we're going to take a break real quick, but when we come back, I want to talk about, you sent an article not too long ago about Wilson's disease. And anytime you see the word disease, my patients know at least that if you weren't born with it, then you probably don't have to keep it, or it's reversible. But specifically these receptors on the genes that, if they're there, great, working properly, but if they're not, then things don't work properly. And this can lead to problems that we call disease, but one in particular, Wilson's disease. So we will talk about that and other things when we get back. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
Welcome back into You're the Cure right here on AM 580, brought to you by Veritas Medical. Check out the website, veritasmedical.com. Past shows archived right there on the website. Dr. Ben Edwards, MD, here on the show. Of course, along the way, if you have any questions at all, text line available, 806-745-5800. Special guest on the program this morning. Good show with Morley, and let's get right back at it.
Well, before we jump in on the retinol turn into retinoic acids and the RXR, the receptors on the genes, I want to just remind everybody kind of the thought process that I have and Veritas has on genes. So obviously, they're important. They're full of information and do stuff for us, but this thought that our genes control everything and we're a victim to our genes, and I mean, we don't have any control over our destiny as far as health goes, all these diseases that Americans are encountering at massive rates now. There's so much more to the story than that. The epigenetics, and we've talked about it a lot on the show, above the genes is what epigenetics stands for. And there's so many things that influence whether a gene is turned on or turned off, whether it's going to be read or not. So this onslaught of disease over the last 50 years, 60, 70 years, that's not, we can't just blame all that on genetic mutation, because that's way too quick for genes to mutate. But whether a gene is turned on properly or turned off properly, the way a cell is regulated, the way the cell growth is regulated, it's what we're coming to find out now, and Morley's helping us understand this. A lot of that genetic expression is due to the lack of certain nutrients, like animal-based vitamin A, which is called retinol. So I just want to encourage everybody that if you have your 23andMe and it says you have this or that genetic mutation, Don't just throw your hands up and say, oh, well, nothing I can do about it. In fact, that would be more motivation for me to want to get all my nutrition right and my lifestyle right so that you can optimize your genetic expression. You can keep your gene copying and gene reading pristine. And that's what we want to do. So, Morley, let's go back to the retinoic acid receptors on the genes. And I mentioned Wilson's disease, but any other disease too, or any other comments you have on that? Let's go there next.
Yeah, well, the significance of Wilson's disease is that it's the first known genetic disease. It's the granddaddy of all genetic conditions. And, you know, Dr. Wilson is a very noted physician for his discovery. And it has to do with copper loading and copper buildup in the liver. Well, the article that I sent you, and again, that's not exactly a light, late-night reading, but what it clearly reveals is that back into this nucleus again, there's this receptor called LXR. It's a liver receptor. And what this study was about was profiling what was called an LXR agonist, someone that means that it helps that LXR work. And when they introduced this synthetic substance to support LXR, the two most devastating parts of Wilson's disease were reversed. There's rampant dysregulation of lipid metabolism, and there's an acceleration of inflammation in the liver in people who have Wilson's disease. And of course, this is all blamed on the buildup of copper because it's in an unbound state. And it's there's a lot of controversy. To give you a sense of order of magnitude, one person in 40,000 has Wilson's disease. There's 7,500 people in the United States who have this. So it's not a very common condition. But it is very significant. And what I've long suspected is that it really isn't a copper issue. It's an iron-induced oxidative stress issue. Well, when I read that article, I began to study this substance. It's known scientifically as T0901319 or 1317, I can't remember which. But in any event, it's got a nomenclature. And so I started to dig into that. Well, it turns out that LXR, that important liver receptor, nuclear receptor, is activated by two substances. And lo and behold, the synthetic drug is one, and the other is called 9-cis-retinoic acid.
Retinol.
So if you don't have retinol in your diet, if you don't have the ability to turn beta-carotene or retinyl palmitate into retinol so that you can make retinoic acid, then you're not able to properly support the function of that LXR receptor. That's a really big deal.
So if retinol is not there, retinol to turn into retinoic acid isn't there, then you're missing the key to fit into the keyhole.
Exactly.
The keyhole's empty. And when that particular keyhole's empty, you're going to get dysfunction of the way the body utilizes copper.
Right. And so while we're on this liver focus, and the amount of scientific studies that have been done of Wilson's disease is legendary. I mean, people are obsessed with it. But what they're missing is that, in fact, retinol is essential for the proper function of the LXR receptor. The other thing I want to point out is that we have another aspect to the diet that needs to be considered. That I think I've mentioned in one of our earlier conversations about the movie or the documentary. It's called The Magic Pill, and it's produced by an Australian chef named Pete Evans. And basically, it's profiling what happens when people begin to return to an ancestral diet and move away from a processed diet. And it's very significant. We don't need to get into all of it. But I think what's important for people to realize is that the processed diet today has a lot of GMO elements in it, which means there's a lot of glyphosate in it. And what people need to understand is that glyphosate was actually developed as an antibiotic, and it chelates copper down to a pH of 1. The significance of that is
chelate meaning it grabs it and it makes it unable to be used, unavailable, yep. And glyphosate is Roundup, for those new listeners who haven't heard us talk about that. Roundup, the pesticide. Go ahead, Morley.
So when it's chelating down to the pH of 1, that's below our stomach acid. That means it's a very powerful chelator. Yeah. And so that, we make reference to the fact that people are copper deficient. Well, there's a reason if they're eating processed food, their exposure to these molecules is greater. Well, the other side of it is high fructose corn syrup, again, made from GMO corn, but it's also, in and of itself, it has a very powerful effect on copper, because high fructose corn syrup is not a natural form of sugar. It's a chemically derived form of sugar, and it turns out that it too, high fructose corn syrup, it's also called corn sugars or corn solids now. They're using all sorts of names to confuse the public.
Yeah, check your baby formula, guys, because corn solids, at least the last time I went through the baby formula aisle, was one of the top one or two ingredients, it seemed like, in many of those, but go ahead.
So the thing is, this high fructose corn syrup, it turns into ethanol. It's an alcohol. The first step turns it into ethanol. Why is that important? Because ethanol disrupts one of the most important enzymes in our body called alcohol dehydrogenase. How do I know it's important? Well, there's a Dewey Decimal System for nomenclature for all the enzymes. It's a four-point system. And the nomenclature for ADH, that's its three-letter signature, the nomenclature for ADH is 1.1.1.1. It means it's considered the most important enzyme in the body from a clinical standpoint. And what does ethanol do? It stops it from working. And why is that significant? Because the conversion of retinol into retinoic acid has a rate-limiting enzyme. It's called alcohol dehydrogenase. Now, let me bring it down a notch so people can say that there's an oh my gosh moment here. In this article that I was referencing about alcohol in rats, they were using the equivalent of 1.4 drinks to cause this 75% loss of enzyme function. How many people on this call at the end of the day don't want a beer or two just to kind of ease the day? And we never imagined that it would have that kind of impact on the function of our liver and the function of our colon, which is where this retinol to retinoic acid is so important. And why is it important? Because it turns out that the intestine has its focus from cellular activity is on proliferation. I never knew that. The small intestine and the large intestine pretty much does proliferation. It doesn't toggle back and forth. And so what the body has to be able to do is stop that. And if the proliferation gets out of control in the colon, it leads to colon cancer. And it turns out it's a lack of retinol and too much alcohol called high fructose corn syrup that leads to colon cancer, not red meat.
Wow.
And that's the party line that, well, you've got to stop eating red meat. But there's silence about the importance of retinol or the toxicity of these corn solids and corn sugars and high fructose corn syrup that are being added to the food system.
Yeah.
Well, does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And, I mean, that's a perfect example, the lining of the bowel of the colon. I mean, that lining sloughs off roughly every 4 days, so those cells have to replace themselves. So that's the proliferation mode. Those cells are always growing. So in that area of the body in particular. You've got to really control that proliferation. You've got to manage it and keep it orderly, meaning those receptors that do that, the retinoic acid receptors, meaning retinol's got to be there. And that's where we would see dysfunction occur if you're going to impede that normal process with the high fructose corn syrup you're talking about, the ethanol blocking the enzymes. I mean, I know this is getting kind of deep, but bottom line, I think the summary of it is you've got to have animal-based form of vitamin A called retinol. And ancestrally, we've always had that. The standard ancestral diet, the other sad diet that we used to eat before we turned it into the standard American diet, that's what Weston A. Price saw throughout all these different cultures, whether it be the Eskimos or South American Indians in Peru or the Orient or Africa, the Maasai tribe or whatever. That was the common theme, was this retinol, these animal-based forms. And when we took all that out, which was basically in the 50s with Eisenhower's heart attack, we've talked about that before too, and Ansel Keys came in and said, everybody go low-fat, and we took out the eggs. We took out the animal-based products that have cholesterol. So here we go. Now we've got this rampant uptick in disease, which, again, there's lots of factors here. I mean, from the glyphosate, and we've talked about that so much, Roundup, and the high fructose corn syrup, all these different factors coming into play. But, man, now it's just like it's so intense, so many different factors coming in at the same time that's causing dysfunction of human physiology.
Well, on the surface, it does feel like it's overwhelming, but I think we can simplify it. There's two areas that people need to really understand. One is you need to be very thoughtful about what you eat and stay away from processed food. Mm. So what is processed food? It's coming in a box. It's coming in the frozen food section. It's coming in a round container called pizza, and it's coming through your car window. Those are the processed foods that we need to avoid. The other thing that people need to understand, and where do we buy food now? We buy it from farmers markets, and we buy it from the perimeter of the food store, never in the aisle. Stay away from the aisles. That's where all the toxins are. And so the other thing that I would emphasize for people is that the phrase that I've popularized is there is no medical disease. There's only metabolic dysfunction that's caused by mineral dysregulation. And some people think, oh, come on, there's got to be disease. But there really is no disease when you understand the redox reactions of the body, the reduction oxidation reactions that enable us to live. And it's called redox cycling is its technical term. And when it doesn't go right, it's called redox cycling pathology. Lo and behold, we have another RCP. And it turns out that the root cause protocol that we've talked about in the past addresses and reverses redox cycling pathology. And that's its gift. And it's very much focused on avoiding certain dietary components, avoiding supplements and certain types of foods, especially this high fructose corn syrup, and turning back to the ancestral diet of our great-great-grandparents and their ancestors. That's it. There really is no disease, and we just have to be really disciplined about what we put into our mouth because it does matter. It has a very significant impact. So those are, I think, two important points.
Yeah, we always want to leave on a positive note. There are solutions to all this chaos in the body and chaos in the world. And it's basically get back to living how the great-great-grandparents did and eating how they did, which people can find a lot more information. Weston A. Price, we talk about him all the time, the dentist from the 1920s, but there's a website, westonaprice.org, I believe it is, that talks a lot about his work and has, I'm sure, a newsletter and probably recipes and blogs and podcasts and all that. And, of course, the Root Cause Protocol. Doesn't it have its own website now, Morley, Root Cause Protocol?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, therootcauseprotocol.com.
Yep, rootcauseprotocol.com. Of course, Morley's Facebook page, the Magnesium Advocacy Group. and gotmag.org is another website. So there's plenty of information out there to learn more about. But we're going to tell you right now, it's going to boil down to get back to eating like your great-great-grandparents ate and stay out of the aisles, basically. And where you do supplement, it's got to basically be food supplementation, whole food-based supplementation, cod liver oil that hasn't been manipulated, altered, and changed. I was talking to a supplement company the other day, and they said, oh, yeah, we could probably make a product cheaper for you that has, you know, the main pieces of the chemical puzzle of cod liver oil. And I said, no, we don't want the pieces and parts. We want the whole thing. We want the whole food product, like the Rosita cod liver oils. It's, they don't mess with it. It's just get it out of the liver in a very traditional way and put it in a bottle, basically, or a capsule. So, and whole food vitamin C, same thing. It's got copper at the core. You, beef liver, eating beef liver's best. If you have to get it in a supplement, the desiccated beef liver from a very clean source will have some of these nutrients in it, but eating it's better. And so these are real. You can't supplement your way to health. You can't just go to the grocery store or the supplement store and just start buying all this stuff, because I think 98% of supplement companies are owned by the pharmaceutical companies too, meaning their profit margins are the ultimate goal. And so you're going to cut corners and try to manipulate the supplement to get it in there as cheap as you can and turn around and sell it for as much as you can. So when you start cutting corners and manipulating and synthetically formulating and whatever, you're diminishing the quality and the benefit, and really the body doesn't recognize it. So when you're going to supplement, it needs to be these targeted whole food, high quality, and as close to the form as food as possible, which I know it's hard to get it all in the food these days. Even whole food vitamin C, I read in the longevity plan, Dr. Day's book, that a green bean will lose 77% of its vitamin C in 7 days after you pick it. So one of the things I tell my patients is, yeah, you're going to have to do some supplementation. It's going to cost you a little bit, but look at it as part of your grocery budget. Look at it as part of your health budget. You know, pay less for health or sick care insurance and put it into these high-quality nutrients that we do need to supplement with because our food's lacking. But ultimately, get your own garden or find a neighbor who does, and you can get it vine ripened and pick it the day you eat it kind of thing. Once we get back to that, everybody eating the organ meats from grass-fed beef and getting back to our backyard gardens, eating whole food vitamin C right off the vine, then you don't have to supplement as much. But until then, swig a tablespoon of cod liver oil from a good source, and you'll be well on your way to health, and avoid all the high fructose corn syrup for sure. Well, Morley, any final closing thought?
No, I just think people need to know that that there's more to this process than meets the eye, and they just need to be very thoughtful about the foods they're eating, and they need to be very mindful that there is a path to bring the body back into balance.
Right.
And you know, it's sometimes challenging for people to believe it's that straightforward, but it really is. And I think the more people understand these subtle issues that we've been talking about, what we covered was the veneer of some pretty dense material, but I think we really were able to distill down the essence of it, which is important for people to realize that there is a path back. There is a process that the body uses, and it's a very natural one once we introduce the ancestral foods into our diet.
Yep. Yeah, and that's what, I mean, I love about the Root Cause Protocol is that whole top portion is all about the things to stop doing. You've got to stop the high fructose corn syrup. You've got to stop these things that are impeding normal function. So it's not just about taking a handful of supplements. It really is about getting out of the standard American diet and get back to how we used to do it. So, all righty. Well, thanks, Morley. That was good. I don't think we burned too many people's brains up, so we'll have to have you back again someday. We appreciate your encourage you to continue to research and bring us these things that give us encouragement.
Absolutely. Well, I appreciate the opportunity to share these ideas. Look forward to our next chat in the future.
Great. Have a great day.
Okay.
Thanks, Morley. Appreciate that. And you've been listening to You're the Cure right here on AM 580, of course, brought to you by Veritas Medical. Check out the website, veritasmedical.com, for other programs that are archived there. Dr. Edwards, have a wonderful day. We'll see you back here next Monday.
Thank you, Wade.
On You're the Cure. Have a great rest of the week.